How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, also available on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, as well as the Sirius Radio app on your smartphone. And after the break, we're going to tell you about a new option for listening to this show every week. But we got a lot of stuff to get into today. Tons of news, including fallout of last week's WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. A lot of news coming out of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Two guys got briefcases. The Mark Henry, John Cena match. John Cena did, in fact, retain the title. So much news to talk about there, as well as news from all around the world, including a terrible week for TNA. They had a good TV show on Thursday. Chris Sabin won the TNA World Heavyweight title from Bully Ray. It's about where the good news ends. Other than that, it's just one disaster after another for TNA. We're going to talk about that here on the program today. Plus the New Japan iPay-per-view, which took place earlier on this weekend. Mike Sempervivi is going to give us a full rundown of that pay-per-view. Also, we'll be talking about Raw and Impact from this week. Obviously, we noted that Chris Sabin won the title on Impact. We'll talk more about that program. Plus the Money in the Bank post-show, the Raw show, took place Monday night, which, of course, is leading to SummerSlam. Talk a little bit about the Total Divas TV show, which is debuting next weekend. There's some previews up on the internet, and suffice to say, it's a reality show. We'll see if it's any good. Clips certainly don't look all that good, but who knows? Maybe it's going to be an hour of exciting television on E! Every single week. And you'll get to see it after Raw next week as well. If you just cannot wait, or maybe you don't have E! But you have USA, you'll be able to see the first episode following Raw next Monday night. We'll talk about NXT, the Silva-Weidman 2 rematch, which is coming up on the, actually it's the main event now of the Ronda Rousey-Misha Tate show. We'll talk about the UFC on Fox show, which is taking place this coming weekend, the death of Matt Bourne. So much more coming up here on the program after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Just search Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer Live. Also, the Sirius Satellite Radio app on your smartphone. And beginning next week, iHeartRadio Talk. You'll be able to check the show out 24-7, iHeartRadio.com/talk. There is a app for the iPhone and the Android. We're going to be up there every single week. The new Talk Portal launches Thursday at 10 o'clock a.m. 60 million subscribers at iHeartRadio. All of them able to hear Wrestling Observer Live on Sundays. So check it out, iHeartRadio.com/talk. Also, iHeart.com will take you there as well. That actually might be the best address at the moment. I believe Thursday the other address will be working. But iHeart.com is the place to go to check out the new Talk Portal, which launches this coming Thursday, 10 o'clock a.m. You'll always be able to check out Wrestling Observer Live at iHeartRadio. Mike, we've got so much news to talk about today. How are you feeling this morning?
I have no complaints whatsoever. I had a long show with Dave Meltzer last night, which is up on the site right now for subscribers of the website. Three-part show, actually, went 3.5 hours, talking about a bunch of different news and then taking questions from listeners and from subscribers of the site. And we did that for about 2.5 hours just in questions. It's like a little mini history lesson of pro wrestling, all wrapped up into one radio show.
3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. And again, broken up over three parts to listen to at your leisure.
Is this longer or shorter than the New Japan iPay-per-view?
Technically, it was shorter. I believe that went 4.5 hours in total.
I am going to be watching that New Japan iPay-per-view tonight. In the meantime, give us a rundown of everything that happened on the show.
It was, a very good show. Now, New Japan's got a big tour that they do every year called the G1 Climax. And essentially what it is they have a bunch of wrestlers. I believe it's 14 of them this year, 14 or 16 of them. And they basically wrestle each other. They're in two blocks, and they wrestle each other over the span of the next 2 weeks. And the winner of the two blocks at the end of it face each other. And this is a big annual tournament that they have every year. And this show was kind of like the lead into that to set everything up for this tour. And it was a good show. It probably was not the best of the New Japan iPay-per-views that have taken place this year. Obviously, the January 4th show was huge, and even the show last month on June 22nd that featured the Hiroki Goto, Katsuyori Shibata match that was arguably the match of the year. There was nothing on this show that has touched that, but for $25 on Ustream, you certainly got your money's worth. The main event was an IWGP heavyweight title defense for Kazuchika Okada, defeating Ireland's Prince Devitt, who has been red hot in Japan right now, in 1914 with his Rainmaker short-armed lariat to make the third defense of the title. That was the main event of the show, and again, a really, really good match. Kazushi Sakuraba defeated Yuji Nagata in the semi-main event. This was the return match for Sakuraba, who most listeners probably know from his work as a shoot fighter in Pride. But he came back after suffering a dislocated elbow earlier on this year in a tag team match against Nagata, and came back and got revenge on him and defeated him. There was also a rematch of this past June's Goto Shibata match, which a lot of people were saying was the match of the year. It was just an absolutely excellent, hard-hitting match. Well, they had another one, and they actually went to a double knockout in this match. These two will be facing each other again in that G1 league that's coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So that's been one of probably the feuds of the year, Hiroki Goto and Katsuyori Shibata. Again, they've been engaged in a really hard-hitting, emotional series of matches this year, and it's really been some very, very fun stuff. And probably the other biggest piece of news coming out of the show is Shinsuke Nakamura defeating CMLL's La Sombra with his Bombay knee to regain the IWGP Intercontinental title that he had lost to Sombra on May 31st in Mexico. The story behind that one is they've had a series of matches this year, and they've had two singles matches prior to this, which both men have split. But Sombra's actually gotten the better of Nakamura in Mexico, for those people who have had a chance to see the CMLL TV, as Sombra beat him twice in tag team matches leading up to taking the Intercontinental title. But Nakamura took that back, and Sombra was another thing on this show that was really, really excellent. He works incredibly well with Shinsuke Nakamura. And he's one of those guys with his size and how crisp that he hits moves. There's a lot of people out there that don't like Lucha Libre or don't like some of the athletes that perform and don't think that they mix well with regular, your more traditional professional wrestlers. But if you get a chance and you have that feeling on things, you got to see this match with Sombra and Nakamura, because they work together absolutely perfectly.
You would be remiss if you didn't tell me how Bad Luck Fale did.
Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, Carl Anderson, and CMLL's El Terrible formed the Bullet Club alongside Prince Fergal Devitt, and all of them have been wrecking shop in New Japan, and it's been an interesting heel unit. They've an all-foreigner heel unit that incorporates a lot of outside interference. They incorporate a lot of American shenanigans that we're really used to here with WWE and TNA type of programming. But it's still a relatively new thing for New Japan over there. Well, they got their comeuppance on the card, as well as Hiroshi Tanahashi, who is New Japan's biggest star and has been the focal point of the efforts so far of the Bullet Club to tear down New Japan. Got a little bit of revenge on those guys. He, alongside Togi Makabe, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Captain New Japan, beat Anderson, Terrible, Tama Tonga, and Fale when Tanahashi defeated Terrible. So none of the quote-unquote native bad guys in the Bully Club in New Japan took the loss. It ended up being Terrible, but it was a fun little match that they had. And again, this was the match that they had coming out of intermission, so it did a good job settling everybody back in, and then that led into those matches with Goto and Shibata, which the fans were really into. It was, again, a very, very intense battle. Both guys used headbutts on each other way, way too much. Actually, you know, and that reminds me, too, there was a grudge match earlier on the card with somebody that you absolutely love and who's having a real MVP Wrestler of the Year type season, even though most people out there listening to this probably have no idea who he is or hasn't seen him. But Minoru Suzuki, in another, you know, really nasty, hard-hitting fight of a match, defeated one of his rivals this year, Tomohiro Ishii, in 11 minutes and 51 seconds. And it was just, again, another excellent performance from Minoru Suzuki, who was, again, broke out some new spots in this match that, you know, it's one comedy spot that you would actually really appreciate. And, again, he has just had an absolutely incredible year. He's been a guy that's been around forever, kind of cut his teeth in Pancrase years and years and years ago, believe it or not, with Ken Shamrock around that time. And he's over 40 years old, and he's just probably as good now. In fact, he is. He's better now as a professional wrestler than he's ever been. Just absolutely outstanding.
Now, this show is available for people to watch and presumably buy. I've actually had problems buying it after it's aired live, but presumably you can still buy it. There is a buy $25 button up there, so I presume that works. I'll have to try it tonight. But the video on demand will be available until July 29th. So if you want to see this show, ustream.tv/NJPW is the place to go. And it's looking like, are they doing two shows for the G1? Is that correct, or are they just doing one? Because I'd heard both.
They are. This thing goes from August 1st to August 11th. They're supposed to be playing August 4th, and odds are the final show on August 11th will be as well.
All right, we're going to head to a break, everybody. We got more to talk about when we return. So much news to talk about today, and we got 2 hours to do it. So head back here after the break. Don't turn that dial, as they state. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got so much news to talk about here today. Tons of stuff. We opened up in the first segment talking the New Japan I pay-per-view, which of course was headlined by Kazuchika Okada and Prince Devitt, which, by the way, if you go to the Ustream page, when they list the lineup here, you can follow each man. There's a happy little Twitter follow button there. You can also follow me, of course, at Brian Alvarez, and Sempervivi is at Sempervivi. Got a lot of pictures up over the last couple of days, various things, including some cool shots of the beach. I don't do a lot of tweeting, but I do a little bit. And you can always find out when to call into these programs if you follow me on Twitter, because we do take calls here and there. So at Brian Alvarez on Twitter, check that out. And the big news this week, there's always a lot of news. Obviously, Money in the Bank was a big show. Mark Henry and John Cena, two Money in the Bank matches, all leading into SummerSlam, which is WWE's second biggest show of the year. But the big news this week was TNA. We don't usually have TNA as a top story. In fact, as I was doing the newsletter this week, I was baffled that there was a headline story on TNA, because usually TNA doesn't get a lot of press in Figure Four Weekly, and that's not just because, it's not because I don't like the show, but usually there's not a whole lot of news to talk about. They have television tapings, and those are recapped in the TV reviews, and very little news, because when they're not taping TV, usually nothing's going on. So it's not like WWE, where there's weekly meetings, there are plans being changed all the time, there's new lineups, always news in WWE, but TNA, it's much more quiet. But not this week. A disastrous week for TNA, with the exception of Chris Sabin winning the title from Bully Ray on Impact. But we had everything from guys being released, contracts not being renewed on time, and guys walking away, even though they were in prominent positions and there were long-term plans laid out for them. We had Bruce Pritchard being released. We had D'Lo Brown being released. And lo and behold, D'Lo Brown was the agent at all of the house shows, and they released the agent, and immediately their very next house show was a complete disaster, when half the roster virtually was unable to get licensed or had not been licensed in time. And just a bad week for TNA. And I guess we should start with Impact, since it's been talked about quite a bit. Mike, what are your thoughts on Chris Sabin beating Bully Ray for the TNA World Heavyweight title?
Well, I'll say this about the show. The rating got a 1.2. And they got almost 1.5 million viewers, so they were up that way. So they did get that little bit of good news that is bookended this week by some very bad news. And obviously you hinted at it. We'll get to it after this. But all of those upheavals and shakeups that have been going on this week, they built well towards this show. No matter what anybody thinks about the three-way matches in the X division or the X division in general or anything, it ended up seeming like it paid off a little bit. And obviously there's been a lull this week when it came to sports. There was no baseball back on again till Friday. Not a whole lot going on in the sporting world. So, that helped to really get, all of the eyeballs that TNA possibly could right onto their product. So that worked out well. But I don't know if the decision to, it's good in a way in that they did not ruin the gimmick of the guy who goes and cashes in his shot, much like Money in the Bank, basically always goes out and wins it. And I guess that's a good thing that Chris Sabin didn't fail, I guess you could look at it. But and this is nothing against Chris Sabin. I like Chris Sabin, but this isn't a case like last year with Austin Aries where I feel as though you had to change the title. I understand why they did it, and it seemed to get a good response. I guess we'll find out this week if it really paid off or not. But I didn't see a reason to change the belt. I didn't see a reason. I want to say I don't believe in Chris Sabin as TNA champion, but you know what? I really don't. I don't think I have a reason to. It would be different if he had come in and they had a long-term grand plan where, he beat a couple of heavyweight guys. He wasn't involved in X Division, three ways. If he was, he should have won the belt and been dominant through it, where, this would feel more like it wasn't just done to be done. And that's how I kind of feel coming out of it. Now, Chris Sabin can work with a lot of guys. He's been banged up, but, he's been around a long time, and he's pretty wily. Not as wily as a Chris Daniels or somebody like that, but he's pretty good, and I think can work with a lot of guys. But I guess we'll see how long they decide to keep the belt on him, and I guess we'll see what the reaction is. It just, unfortunately, and this is, again, not an insult to Chris Sabin at all, but I was fine with Bully Ray as TNA champion, and it just doesn't really do a whole lot for me as it stands right now.
I don't know. There were some people that were up in arms about this, but to me, it's like, it doesn't make any difference, It doesn't make one bit of difference if Bully Ray is champion or if Chris Sabin's champion. And I like Chris Sabin, and I thought it was I enjoyed the match. Apparently, a lot of people didn't. Sabin just sold the whole time.
It wasn't a bad match.
It was very dramatic, obviously. He sold his bad knee the whole time, and then, Bully tried to cheat, and Sabin foiled him, hit him with a hammer, pinned him. And they're doing a Hardcore Justice TV special. It's basically just Impact with one of their old pay-per-view names that they've since canceled. But they're doing that in the middle of August, and I presume that Bully Ray will beat Chris Sabin and get the title back. I suppose it's possible he doesn't. But I figured last year that they were going to take the title off Aries early, and they gave it to him for a while. But to me, Aries is a much more complete performer than Chris Sabin. Nothing against Chris Sabin. I like him, but he's not the overall package that Austin Aries is. And I don't know. I can't get up in arms one way or the other, because to me, like I said, I don't think it makes one bit of difference whether, Chris Sabin is champion or whether Bully Ray is champion. I realize the rating was up this week, but again, they didn't have a lot of competition. They had been building this for a long time as a big show. I expect it to be right back to 1.2 million viewers next week. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know. I don't think there's anything like any person or any match or any feud or anything that is going to turn around TNA's fortunes right now. I think they are where they are. And as long as they can produce television shows that their 1.2 to 1.5 million viewers will sit down and watch every Thursday night, I think they will remain in the position that they are in. I know a lot of people are very concerned that they may be going out of business soon. And there are some disturbing, there's a lot of concern for various reasons. I personally feel they're going to be around for a little while, but I certainly don't blame anybody that's concerned about their immediate future. I don't know how much you guys talked about on the show last night with Dave. What did you guys talk about in terms of the future here and what people are talking about?
We didn't get into it too heavy or anything. You know, at the time we had started the show, we were just coming off of this disastrous show we'll get to a little bit here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. But, you know, we brought up the fact of what you had brought up. I mentioned to Dave about, you know, they did get rid of D'Lo Brown, and he was in charge of the house shows, which there's a lot of things you can say about TNA, but the house shows seem to be run very well. They may not have been attended very well, but they always came off without a hitch. People who went and had the live experience seemed to like it. So who else is a road agent besides Pat Kenny? And it seems to just be Al Snow, but it's like, you know, it's one of those things where they've made a lot of moves and canceled flights and changed things up and done different things where they've basically thrown money away at a time where they don't need to be throwing money away. They've missed things office-wise that leads to things like what happened in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and what happens with Doc, who was set to have a face turn against Kennedy, and then all of a sudden his contract slips through the cracks. He decides not to resign, and then they have to go ahead and drop the whole thing and change it on the fly. And it's things like that that, as you know, you're in upheaval right now. You've already had a history of these things. It's not like this stuff is anything new to TNA. It doesn't make you feel good about the prospects. And we talked about guys like Matt Morgan, who probably will get a look by WWE down the line. And it makes you wonder how many people who do get released or who do go out, what are they going to do? Obviously, the Performance Center in Florida has got a lot of room for a lot of different people, and there's lots of guys from TNA that WWE would surely like a Bobby Roode or a James Storm or somebody like that. But it does make you wonder if something happens with TNA or they continue to slash costs. If nothing else, where do these guys go? What are their options? You know, somebody like a Kurt Angle, and there's a handful of guys, could always get a couple of paydays every couple of months in Japan and things like that, but it does make you wonder where a bulk of that roster would end up going if they start getting, you know, cut piece by piece. What does it mean for everybody?
You know, another thing to think about, let's say that TNA did go belly up, and it obviously the people that folks talk about, two of the big names are, well, you know, Hulk Hogan could go back for a WrestleMania match and maybe they'd hire Kurt Angle for a while. Problem with both of those is I don't know if either man could even be cleared. You know, the idea that Hulk Hogan does one more match at a WrestleMania down the road, I mean, that's all nice and it's all well and good, but can Hogan pass any of their testing? I mean, think about guys like Nigel McGuinness who couldn't pass their testing. And then we're talking about Hulk Hogan is going to actually pass all of their physical testing to have a match at WrestleMania. I don't even know if that could happen.
Well, Brian, think of this. Even if he technically could pass the testing, this is like the Evander Holyfield clause in boxing, where people are like, well, he could pass the test, but there's no reason you can't make a case that he should really be in the ring other than it's for the money. Even if Hogan could pass, can you imagine a situation where he does a move, falls down in that situation and can't get back up? Which, again, that's not a joke. That's kind of a legitimate thing. That's how bad those hips and that body is.
Yeah, it's something to think about with all of these, you know, people have been speculating about that for a while now with Hogan, who at one point was actually behind in pay. Hulk Hogan behind in pay in TNA. And we'll see. There's so much more to talk about here, including the issue at the house show last night and the releases. We're going to get into that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Search for Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer Live. That's the TuneIn Radio app, Android, iPhone, various platforms. You can also check us out on the Sirius Satellite Radio app on your smartphone. And as noted, WrestlingObserver.com, the show airs live streaming on the front page at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and a replay of the show is up on the website immediately after the program goes off the air as well. So if you miss part of the program, just go to WrestlingObserver.com. You can download the program, the replay. And for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, that is the place to go, WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates, tons of different news bits throughout the day. We've got the Wrestling Observer newsletter, 30,000 words every week on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Figure Four Weekly also up every week. Back issues of The Observer from the 90s go up every single week. And radio shows, tons of radio shows. If you love this program, you are missing out if you're not subscribing to WrestlingObserver.com. It's $10.99 a month. That's $10.99, basically less than you'd pay for lunch most days. For $10.99, you get every brand new show we do. And keep in mind, Sempervivi did 3 shows last night. I got at least one other show coming up here today for subscribers on the website. And not only do you get all the brand new shows, the daily radio shows, but you have full access to our archives dating back to 2005. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of radio shows up there for you to download at your convenience. So if you love pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, certainly the best value for your money is WrestlingObserver.com. You will never run out of audio content on your way to work, while you're working out, wherever you listen to your audio. You'll never run out. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking the potential doom of TNA. A lot of people freaking out. Other people saying this is completely blown out of proportion. What is not blown out of proportion is a bunch of people are gone again. Tara has been released. She was the highest paid girl on the roster, so they let her go. Bruce Pritchard has been released. Bruce Pritchard, you may have seen him as a judge for Gut Check. My guess is there's no more Gut Check. I have not had that confirmed. I don't know if that's the case, but my guess is Gut Check is dead now that they've released a bunch of individuals that won Gut Check from developmental. They're all gone, and Bruce Pritchard is gone. And Taz is missing, but he'll be back. I know he wasn't on Impact, so we'll just clear that up right now. He'll be back. Anyway, Bruce Pritchard was doing a lot of jobs for the company, including talent relations. And lo and behold, another contract was coming due, that being Doc's contract, a member of Aces and Eights, who was involved in an angle the week prior and was on his way to a babyface turn in a feud with the vice president of Aces and Eights, Mr. Anderson. His contract was coming due, and for, I believe, the 4th or 5th time, Bruce Pritchard was late on getting it handled, and the contract expired, and Doc is gone. So, apparently, one strike too many. Bruce Pritchard was, he was actually not under contract. He was working on a per-show basis. He was removed as VP. They offered to let him stay on as a day-of-show producer. He turned that down. He is gone from TNA. I believe that is all of the most... D'Lo Brown was released, as we noted in the last segment. He was in charge of house shows. And just one individual after another disappearing. Obviously, they're going to be trying to replace these people. They're kind of trying to revamp everything. I don't know if they've gotten rid of the biggest offenders and the problems that are plaging TNA right now, Mike.
I don't think so either. I really don't. I don't even know if they realize that probably the best thing on that show, believe it or not, has been Taryn Terrell. For those people who don't watch TNA, and there are a lot of you, as Rob Van Dam will tell you, that's one of the things that would drive him nuts and kind of, you know, he was going to go back to WWE at some point anyway. That door was always going to be open for him and probably always will be. As long as something, you know, completely terrible doesn't happen. But people would come up to him and go, man, what happened to you? I remember you from back in the day. What are you doing now? And he said, I'm wrestling on Spike TV, on national television, major cable owned by Viacom, for this group TNA Impact. And people would go, who? What? and they wouldn't end up turning in. And he said that multiple times. And, you know, here we are with this situation, Bruce Pritchard. The thing is, I know this happened before him when it comes to contracts running out and things like that. And obviously he's the one who's supposed to be responsible for it, but it always seems like the structure of that company is not set up properly with people, you know, dotting their I's and crossing their T's and making sure everything is set up and straight. And I don't know if D'Lo Brown's money and Doc's money and Tara's money, you know, are they really the contracts that you need to cut to really save money and to really get lean and mean and to make everything work? I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I look at guys like Jeff Hardy's a bad example because I think he's, you know, one of the things that is actually a benefit to TNA. I'm not saying a massive one by any means, but it's actually a benefit. But I think I look at, you know, Anderson in the role he's in now, does he justify the money he's getting? And that's not a crack against him, but he's been just another guy there, you know, and that's talking about him, much less your Hulk Hogan's, your Brooke Hogan's, you know, your guys like that, who are taking a bulk of the income. So it's too bad. You know, I was a real big proponent of them getting out of the Impact Zone. I think it looks great. I think it works great. I think they, you know, it, from an aesthetic point of view, it works. But if they're hemorrhaging that much money, you know, I say take the bullet and go back into the Impact Zone and save the cost. And they probably down the line will go ahead and end up doing that. You know, the idea to limit pay-per-views from 12 to 4 was an incredibly silly and short-sighted decision. They really, to me, should have cut it back to 6. That way you always have between 3 and 6 weeks of build, most often more towards the latter of that. And I think they made a huge mistake that way because the 4 pay-per-views they have are not, I don't think, banging down the, you know, the doors of success here and are generating any more income. In fact, I'm pretty sure that they're generating far less so far in this example. So I just, they've had a history of this. There's been a lot of, you know, the same, you know, that some of the faces change, but the things, you know, remain the same. And when things remain the same, you look at the faces that have continued to stay and you wonder if that's going to be the best thing for this company, because it seems like, obviously, for once, we've been saying it for years. When are they going to be tired of losing this much money?
Well, the issue with the pay-per-views, first off, is cutting to 4. I mean, yeah, I agree that when you watch the television, having a pay-per-view every 3 months does make the television often seem like it doesn't matter because it's not building to a pay-per-view. But at the same time, I don't know for sure, but my guess is that the pay-per-view numbers were so low that it's almost certain that they were losing money on all of those shows. So by cutting from 12 to 4, essentially you're just losing less money, potentially a lot less money. And obviously the cuts were the call of Janice Carter, who is Bob Carter's wife, Dixie's mom. She's in charge of the finances and the money, and she's there to make sure they don't lose an excessive amount of money. And that's why guys were axed. Matt Morgan, by the way, was axed. Forgot to talk about him. He'll probably end up in WWE. It's at least the feeling from people in TNA. But Matt Morgan's gone, and she made the call to axe people, and they're doing what they can to cut costs. And unfortunately, I mean, this has been the case for decades. If you want to compete with WWE, you got to spend a lot of money. That's it. If not, you're just what you are. And fans in large numbers do not support number 2. They will in small numbers, you know, about a quarter of the number of people, maybe even less, will support TNA. But the vast majority of wrestling fans in this country are only going to support number 1. And TNA is nowhere near number 1. They're not even the same stratosphere as number 1. And when you start cutting people and cutting costs, you drift the number 2 position, you drift further and further away as number 2. And unfortunately, that's where they're at right now. And the question is, are they making enough money from Spike TV? Do they feel this project is worth continuing? We shall find out. But it's worrisome. The pay-per-view or the house show that Mike was talking about earlier was in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And what happened was, at the beginning of the show, Pat Kenny, who is one of the remaining road agents, came out and announced that approximately half the roster had not been licensed. I believe he put the blame on the Missouri State Athletic Commission, but the reality is that's their job. These guys have to be licensed. And TNA, unfortunately, did not jump quickly enough in getting five or six guys licensed. And because they hadn't got them licensed, they can't work in Missouri. And you can put the blame on Missouri if you want to, but the problem is Missouri made the rules, and you didn't follow the rules. You didn't get things done in time. And so whoever was responsible for that in TNA, again, dropped the ball. So as a result, half the roster couldn't work. A bunch of guys worked twice. I think few people even worked like three times. And the fans were given the opportunity to either get a refund or to do a meet and greet with all of the guys. Everybody in the show was allowed to do a meet and greet backstage at the end of the show. And keep in mind, there were only about 300 people there, which is also a disastrous story. So it's just, when it rains, it pours. And man, I'm writing the revamped Death of WCW right now. And it's pretty scary to, for example, to read about when Bill Watts came in and his first job was look at all these giant contracts and try to get everybody to renegotiate and make less money. And here we are, same things happen in TNA. There's no Bill Watts, but guys are being asked to renegotiate their deals. Guys with certain deals are being released. It's a bad situation right now.
Yeah, and it's, well, when you wrote the book, Brian, you and R.D. Reynolds, how many of the names, even though it's a different situation, how many of the names are the same from that book that are involved in TNA? And Dave and I talked about this last night, the possibilities of, if it got right down to it, would spike by them, at least for the short term. And, you know, the problem with that is, realistically, if Spike were to buy them and maybe cut some more costs, but look at them until they got something else better to fill the void, if they could get it for cheap enough, they would go ahead and buy it and run it, and as long as it started, you know, kept up the ratings it has, because it is a valuable property to them that way. It does actually jack up the overall national average for Spike that, you know, still has not really established the foothold, I don't believe, that they thought this thing was going to have years ago when they branded it the National Network, and then they branded it again, you know, Male TV for Spike TV. I don't think it's really done for them what they thought it was going to. So it does help with ratings, and would they go ahead, buy it, you know, keep it as long as the ratings are good? That sounds like it's pretty good. The bad part is I would figure that Bischoff, Hervey Entertainment would probably be the ones that they would just go ahead and turn over the executive production to, which, if that's the case, that's kind of been part of the problem. Again, nothing against Hervey or Bischoff or Hogan, except to say what's changed. You know, we talk about these pay-per-views. We talk about the fact 1.5 million people watched them this week. They always have around 1 million people watching them every single week, week in and week out for years. And none of those people, almost, literally, I think we did the math one time. What was it, like 0.008% of the people that watch TNA actually order their pay-per-views every month? That's terrifying. You know, the local promotion being so poor that you only get 300 people, that's terrifying, and that's a lack of quality control, because almost by accident you should be able to get that many people. And that's, again, ridiculous. And the fact that they've been to Missouri and had these problems again with guys knowing what they were walking into, again, just too bad. But kudos to James Storm, who was banged up in Danville, Illinois the night before, but went ahead and wrestled about three times last night.
All right, back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Take your pick. Depends on the week. Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we are talking about the TNA woes, many of them. There have been a number of incidents. And one thing to talk about in terms of comparisons with WCW, these problems with WCW that I was referencing came about 3 years before WCW turned everything around and had a boom period. The problem is that the boom period occurred when Ted Turner opened up the pocketbook and they started paying big money, to lure guys over from the other side. And as noted, when TNA a couple of years ago tried to go head-to-head with Raw on Monday nights, just absolutely got completely obliterated and destroyed, which, by the way, not to brag, but I'd predicted that going in because a lot of people thought there were parallels between today and 1995. There were none. There were zero parallels between 1995 and 2011 or whenever they made the move to Monday nights. But if you're going to do it, you got to go all the way. You cannot half-ass battle WWE. You can't just go against them on Monday nights with the current TNA roster. It just doesn't work. You got to open up the pocketbook and you got to try and get, and they can't because he's got a 10-year contract, but you got to try and get Randy Orton. You got to try and get, you know, the actual big tippy-top stars of WWE. And if you don't do that, it ain't going to work. And Spike buying them would be all well and good if you just want to, you know, run the secondary promotion and make money off your ad rates and that sort of thing. But if you want to actually, like, buy the company and compete with WWE, you better be ready to spend a lot of money. And I don't think Spike is prepared to do that. This is Spike, not the USA Network. If the tables were turned and you know, WWE was on Spike and USA decided to sign TNA, then you'd have some money to do this. But Spike doesn't have that money. We're going to head to a break when we come back. We've got a lot of news to talk about, including Money in the Bank. So much news in hour two. So stick around. We'll be back in 7 minutes. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of other ways to listen as well. The TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That's the TuneIn Radio app. You can search Sports Byline USA or Wrestling Observer. Check us out there. You can also check us out on the Sirius Satellite Radio app. And starting next week, iHeartRadio will be carrying us. 60 million subscribers. You can check them out at iHeart.com. The talk radio section opens up on Thursday at 10 o'clock a.m., and we will be there every Sunday. So check out iHeartRadio in the talk section. A new way to listen to Wrestling Observer Live. And Mike, we got about a minute here before the break. Any other final thoughts on the issues facing TNA?
Not really, no. It's just, again, it's too bad because there's so many guys there that I like, and the fact that I like wrestling, and, you know, WWE needs real competition to put, you know, push them. That's when they're at their best. But at the very least, I always just like, you know, alternatives out there, and TNA having TV and being able to have, you know, real money at their disposal as opposed to Ring of Honor and other places. It's just too bad, you know, especially with the outlet they had and the fact they've made so many consistent mistakes over the years, you know, over and over and over again. It's just, it's tough. But I'll say this, hopefully in this next hour here, there's relief coming. The caffeine is hitting my system again, so I feel a little bit better. I did tape that show with Dave Meltzer overnight last night. We got done at 6:30 in the morning, Eastern time. And even at 6:30 in the morning, it was about a zillion degrees, but there's relief coming there as well. As I hear the thunder and I'm seeing some lightning shoot across the sky, it's finally going to rain here on the East Coast to break this humidity that I thought was actually going to result in some sort of Sharknado.
You're a glutton. A glutton for punishment, Mike, but a good man.
I'm doing it for the people, Brian Alvarez.
A good man. All right, everybody, we're heading to a break. Back in a couple of minutes for Hour 2 Wrestling Observer Live. You're listening, as always, to the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app. Check us out on Wrestling Observer or searching Sports Byline. And you can check the Sirius Satellite Radio app as well on your smartphone. So many ways to listen to the show. And Mike, if you head to WrestlingObserver.com at this moment, you can see a video, a preview of the Total Divas show where Brie Bella decides that she is going to present John Cena with the idea of the two of them getting married. And he responds as any typical man would, which is he's horrified at this idea. Not me, of course. I was thrilled. But what did you make of this wacky clip? And are you excited for this show, or does this look like a disaster?
I thought of the clip. There's a reason why all reality TV programming has got an executive producer, much like Ric Flair's fake mustache during Wife Swap. It's... you know, one of those goofy things they obviously did for a reaction, and Cena's obviously, I don't know if they bring this up on the show, I don't, you know, if he says it or not, you know, he coming off a divorce, what, about a year ago, and maybe longer than that now, but, you know, it is what it is for the show, and there's going to be a lot of this sort of stuff. I mean, for heaven's sakes, they have those two girls there from Florida that they signed that nobody's ever seen before. You see the commercials, you go, who are these people? You know, they have them on there basically for the show, and, you know, it is what it is. I don't watch a lot of e-programming. In fact, I don't watch any e-programming. I can't think of the last thing I watched, maybe a Chelsea Handler show or something like that. So it's not something that interests me at all. I don't know if it's going to be something that interests the general public, too. I don't think it's going to be this, you know, unmitigated disaster, though, or anything like that. I think it's just going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be another one of those shows. In the history of reality TV shows, it's just going to be another one. And frankly, for E, it might do some pretty good numbers just because there are a lot of wrestling fans. And even if they're going to tune in just one time to see, you know, how bad the show is, even if that's the reason to do it, it may do more than some of the shows on there. So, you know, it is what it is. It's just, it's using synergy to have another show on. And I guess, if you can do it, why not? I'm just not going to be something that I'm going to watch.
You are so astonishingly optimistic about this program.
Well, does anybody, I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's not like anybody can get too mad about this or go, why are you throwing this money out the window? It's got to be one of those things that WWE's done so much of this over the years where you just got to shrug your shoulders and go, okay. At least we know because of the, you know, they're going by relationships and they're using that sort of stuff. You're going to see Tyson Kidd, who you haven't seen in forever, you know, at least his deal with Natalya, and you're going to get to see that wedding. So that'll probably be pretty cool for wrestling fans to see. And obviously Daniel Bryan, going out with the other Bella, he's going to be featured on there as well. And obviously they're going to, you know, the timing of this is to play very nicely into Daniel Bryan and John Cena. At SummerSlam, or at least, you know, somewhere in the mix right there. So, hey, you can use it for that. So they're going to do that as well. It is what it is.
Mike, the show, you got to remember that when they put out a clip, which obviously they did because TMZ aired the clip, they're going to put out a clip of some of the most compelling stuff because they want you to go, oh my God, I've just got to see this show. So the most compelling stuff they've got is Brie Bella asking John Cena if there's a potential for marriage in their future in the most awkward, poorly acted meeting you've ever seen. This is like the best of what we've got coming on this program.
Probably. Well, no, the best.
An hour a night, a full hour. How?
Well, look, again, I'm not going to watch it. I'll say this. You know, they have a piece of their fan base. And they play to this. TNA does. Everybody does the same thing. A lot of times you have a storyline or something that plays to, you know, the women fan base that you have, the soap opera watchers, things like that. There are people like that. And, again, that's all this is. I don't think they expected, you know, most of their fan base to really care. Again, why would they tune in to watch? They tune in to watch because they think Cameron and Layla and Naomi are really pretty. I mean, that's probably why I would do it. But, you know, again, how many people are really going to do that? So I think, again, I think it just, it is what it is. you know, to me, it's a waste of their money. I could probably do better things with it, but I think it's just one of those things they're doing just because they can do it. But I don't really think at the end of the day, even though they're promoting it on there and it is what it is, are they really expecting this to be that major a deal or anything like that? It's just E, let them go on with an hour, and that's what they're doing. I just don't, it's not that big of a deal to me.
It's a big deal to me. I got to watch this show, Mike.
You don't have to watch the show.
Well, I got to watch at least the first episode. I don't mind watching the first episode, but maybe it'll be great. Maybe
that's the other way around. I don't want to watch the first episode. If you and Vinny tell me it's good to watch it or it's so bad that I need to watch it, then maybe I will. But I got to be honest, again, as a wrestling fan, the only thing that seems to pop up and would interest me is going to be the Tyson Kidd Natalya thing.
Why?
Because I like Tyson Kidd and I haven't seen him in a while. And I'm happy he and Natalya got married.
I like it too. I think the marriage is going to be some cool television.
Maybe I'll get to see Bret Hart in there, or maybe we'll get to see some random faces or something like that. I mean, it's more for that voyeuristic purpose of seeing that stuff than it is the high drama and Brie made Naomi cry in the back and any other nonsense that they're going to do.
I think the marriage will be fun to watch. I like Tyson Kidd as well, but I don't picture like a lot of drama with Tyson Kidd and you know, if there's not drama, it's not
creative editing that all those shows do. They give you a tease going to break, and then when they come back from break, it's like you're waiting for the tease to happen. They finally do it. It's not that big of a deal, and then they cliffhang into the next break.
But the thing is, if there's not drama, they're not going to devote much time to it. So, for example, I'm intrigued at the idea of John Cena and Nikki Bella going fishing at 6 a.m. on a Friday morning. You really think we're going to get more than a minute of that? Of course not. We're going to get 10 minutes of them jabberwocking about whether or not they're going to get married, and then a minute of them fishing. And you know that, like, the majority of the television time is going to be given to the drama between the women, which I can't imagine a normal person being able to tolerate for more than about a minute, because we've seen it on Raw. They had that thing a couple of weeks ago where the Bellas were being so mean to Cameron and Naomi or whatever it was. I can't even remember, but it sucked. How can you fill an hour with that?
Look, I don't know how they could fill a half hour with learning the ropes, but and you know what? And there's another thing in hindsight, how bad everybody said learning the ropes was way back in the day. The Lyle Alzado, former NFL Hall of Famer, who played a substitute teacher who would wrestle undercover to earn extra money in WCW. Everybody talked about how bad that show was. You know what? It's looking better as far as being a wrestling fan goes, looking at that, than it is this show.
As I rant,
has really made you very, very upset.
As I rant and rave about this show, the clouds over my house are literally burning away. I don't know if it's the vitriol I have spewed has burned these clouds off, or if this is God telling me you are correct. This show will suck. Am I being too harsh? I don't know. I'll watch it. Maybe it'll be really good. But my wife is a fan of various shows on E. Not like a fan, but she watches them for Trainwreck Television. I go in there all the time, and there's some horrible show from Eon, and they're so bad. They're so bad.
That's the whole thing. Mindless TV, and I, again, with what they show, with what a lot of cable and, you know, television is today, is it really something to be that upset? I guess the only thing to really be upset about is the fact that it clogs up Raw, and the fact that they waste any time on it and all of that nonsense. I think that's what it is. But again, I think you just got to take it for what it is.
All right, everybody, I'm going to take a hiatus here during the break. And when we come back, we shall talk more, including the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So stick around, everybody. Clean out your eardrums. Back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Wait. Before we do that, one last thing on this Total Divas show.
Oh, my God. Mike just won't give up on this show.
Just since we brought up, or I brought up, the two random women that they're going to have on this show, I ask you two questions. One, why not bring back Cody Rhodes' fiance, Eden Styles, I believe was her name in FCW, who was beautiful. If you're going to have random people on the show, why not bring back some of the ones that they had? And two, who are these women? Do you know who these women are and if they're going to be in the mix for WWE after this show?
Well, first off, why not bring back Randy Orton's fake wife? She was the best one they
had. That would be fine, too.
These girls are developmental girls, and they are not even on NXT television yet, to the best of my knowledge. I've never seen them on there. And, of course, they'd be filming Total Divas right now, so maybe they were back when I wasn't watching it regularly. But I've not heard great reviews about their in-ring. I've heard that they've got a long way to go. So maybe they're going to be on television quickly. I hope they've got a crash course in pro wrestling. But I think they're cute, obviously. But as far as wrestling goes, I don't think that they're ready for the main roster yet.
Well, something else to look forward to on Total Divas.
Let's do some investigations here. One of them's Bobby Joe something, I think. Seems to be a common name for swimsuit models. The other one, let's see, we've got Eve Marie and JoJo Offerman. JoJo Offerman is her name.
Mm.
I don't even know if she's... What the hell's going on here? Let me check.
Total Divas is breaking the internet as we speak.
JoJo Offerman, for some reason, when I click on her Wikipedia, it takes me to NXT Wrestling. So I don't even know if she's got a Wikipedia, which is going to make this awfully difficult to do any sort of investigation here. But Eve Marie does have a Wikipedia. She is a American professional wrestler and a fashion model. She is signed to WWE. She started in WWE in 2012. She made her debut on Raw. I don't see anything here about NXT. So it's one of the fun things about the internet. You can do some Googling and do this live on the air. I don't know if she has had a single match, but someone told me that in the ring she is she's got a long. Have I said long enough times? A long way to go. And this other girl who I cannot find her Wikipedia, JoJo Offerman, named after fried potatoes, apparently. The Bleacher Report has a...
It could be after a former Olympic figure skater and Terry Bradshaw's wife, JoJo Starbuck.
Originally a singer and a dancer, Josanne Alexi Offerman is among the least threatening-looking women the WWE has ever signed.
Well,
extremely petite, cute, and hard to imagine as an athlete. Now, keep in mind, this is from Bleacher Report, and this is not from WWE herself. She is of Mexican and Dominican descent, and according to her Twitter, she is taken, at least until Total Divas airs, I'm sure. She's got Instagram photos. In her photos on her Instagram page, it says, Offerman has a bubbly personality. I don't believe that she has ever had a match either. So, yeah, they're going to be going from Total Divas. If they go into the ring, they will be going into the ring unprepared.
By the way, folks, people, just two random names out there in the open that WWE could have signed to do this. Melissa Anderson and Thea Trinidad, but maybe they had too much experience.
Thea Trinidad, of course, was her TNA name?
Rosita.
Rosita, that's right. She's extremely lovely. Although she is also under 5 feet tall, which this JoJo here looks... she may be 3 feet tall, according to these pictures on her Instagram. Very short. And according to Bleacher Report, the least threatening-looking girl ever signed to WWE. Which is really saying something.
That is saying something when you've had Kelly Kelly and Alicia Fox in... Again, Eden Styles is just another name I bring up because she was absolutely gorgeous, but, you know, the thought of her being anything other than a ring announcer just was amazing.
I'm sure they're nice girls. I'm just baffled that they have been... they're literally being called up to E, and then likely will have to go right to WWE, and if they're not, what a waste of time to put them on E. So I don't know what the mindset was here. Maybe they're just... I mean, she does have a bubbly personality, according to her Instagram, so maybe that's the key here, that she's going to be very charismatic and she'll steal the show. It's possible one of these two women will steal the show. I don't know.
It is, and they could cause some heartache and some heavy feelings for the veterans that are there, like the Bella Twins, who may have to teach those girls a thing or two and keep them in line and understand what it's like to be a queen in the WWE.
I should also note that on that clip, I can't believe we've now talked for two straight segments about Total Divas. It does debut, I believe, this coming Sunday night on E! I'll try and get that for everybody here in just a moment. But anyway, the... what was I even going to say? Oh, yeah, in the John Cena clip with Nikki Bella. As, by the way, the clouds continue to burn off as I rant on and on about Total Divas. The clip that I referenced, which is on WrestlingObserver.com right now, also TMZ, obviously, since it was a TMZ clip, has they reference the fact that Brian, who of course is Daniel Bryan, who apparently is Bryan Danielson on the show, which let's just make this even more confusing, everybody. Bryan Danielson and Brie Bella are, and by the way, that's how you can figure out which Bella each is dating. Bri is dating Brie. Anyway, they are ring shopping, according to Nikki Bella. So perhaps they will announce a big announcement at the end of maybe just out of complete coincidence, when Natalya gets married and tosses the bouquet, Brie will end up catching them, and that will lead to the announcement that in season two of Total Divas, we're going to be getting ready for the Daniel Bryan Brie Bella wedding. Which, if that's the case, Mike, can you imagine if they actually are doing a storyline where those two are getting married and the world and perhaps their respective families will not find out until the television show airs?
Yes. Not only can I imagine that, I can imagine the re-debut of Saturday Morning Slam, and you could continue this angle to go on into October or whenever it is of the fall season that they're going to bring back that show. And we can have John Cena there eating Fruity Pebbles in the morning. And then his little brother gets up and comes out, and John Cena gives him a noogie. And that little brother is Daniel Bryan, and all sorts of wackiness ensues.
By the way, we've got the storylines for the first two episodes. The first episode is called Welcome to the WWE. It is airing July 28th, which is, in fact, next Sunday. Man, as soon as the show's over, you can watch Total Divas, everybody. But anyway, that is called Welcome to the WWE. And by the way, it will be airing immediately after the thing, immediately after Raw on Monday night. So you can make sure to check it out there. But anyway, the WWE Divas begin their preparations for WrestleMania. Nikki starts to have doubts regarding her relationship with John. Cameron is embarrassed when her boyfriend ends up causing a scene backstage with Naomi stuck in the middle. Who's Cameron's boyfriend?
I don't know.
I know Naomi and one of the Usos have gotten engaged, but I was unaware of who Cameron's boyfriend is.
Huh, there is drama.
There is drama. Hold on a second here.
Where is David Otunga in all this? In fact, just where is David Otunga? Because this seems like a show he'd be perfect to do a walk-on through.
Do we have an extra 2 minutes here that I can do some investigation, or do we have to go to break?
No, we got an extra 2 minutes.
Oh, this will give me some time to try and find out who Cameron WWE dating. Let's see what comes up.
You know, back in the olden days, too, this would be bad because the guys, promoters who run these companies wouldn't want to hear that these ladies are tied up. You're supposed to give the illusion that, all the men want you. This is what the Bellas always say. And now they've given themselves to Daniel Bryan and John Cena. It's just, you got to keep the facade up, people.
Doesn't say in her personal life who she is dating, but I guess we're going to find out on the, maybe it's Tensai. I don't know.
I was going to say, could they actually be doing a kayfabed boyfriend? I can't believe it on a show with an executive producer.
A worked boyfriend? That's ridiculous.
Shocking.
Then we've got episode 2, which will air August 4th. A Tango with Fandango, it's called. This show sounds...
We'll get Summer Rae.
The more I read, the more this show sounds more intriguing to me. Eva Marie, that is, plans to achieve a winning rank by creating a scheming plan. What does that even mean?
It won't have anything to do with Oksana.
A winning rank in what? Let me read that again. Eva plans to achieve a winning rank by creating a scheming plan. A number of big words randomly put together to make a plot. The Bella Twins take some time off and enjoy a vacation with Brian and John. Cameron and Naomi are horrified when they experience a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh my, the tears are going to flow.
I would bet they're going to flow. All right, I've just completely blown out my vocal cords for my second straight segment on Total Divas. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Man, we are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday for 2 hours. 2 hours talking Total Divas so far today. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And listen, if you want a full recap of Total Divas next week, well, you're going to have to subscribe because we're going to be doing a radio show next Sunday night after the first episode of Total Divas. Vinny and I actually are going to be recapping episode number 1 of Total Divas and perhaps every episode after that. I know you cannot wait for these reviews. WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. It's $10.95 to sign up. There's a lot of free stuff up there. There's daily news updates, there's news, free radio shows, all sorts of stuff. So head up there whether you're a subscriber or not. But if you sign up, there's even more. We got so many radio shows. Not only do we do radio shows every single day, sometimes multiple shows. We're doing multiple shows today. We had multiple shows yesterday. And we're going to have multiple shows up tomorrow, including the author of the Jack Briscoe biography is going to be on the show tomorrow, as well as the new Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer. So much stuff coming up. All of it's available, $10.99 a month, not only to get all the brand new shows, but every single show we've ever dating back to 2005 is available on the website right now. So one of these days, subscribers will be able to go back and listen to all of the reviews of WWE Total Divas. Just like right now, for example, you can go back and hear all of the reviews of the WWE Tough Enough season with Steve Austin as a host, which amazingly, Vinny never watched. I don't even know what's wrong with him, but he didn't. He'll be forced to watch Total Divas this time. But you can check all that out at WrestlingObserver.com. It's great. If you love this show, I guarantee that you will love a subscription to the website. Every few weeks, I get emails from people that they listen to the free show for years, and they signed up, and they're like, my God, why didn't I sign up years ago? I deeply regret this. Well, don't regret it, everybody. Sign up today and see what you're missing. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, do you have anything else to say about Total Divas, or can we move on now?
No, I'm really, again, I'm now starting to get a little bit disappointed that Cameron's got a boyfriend, worked or not.
Because, well, Mike, you're a married man. You don't have an option here.
You're right. You're right, Brian. I love my wife, and you're right.
So what are you sad about?
That's nothing. I mean, for other people that may have had an interest in Cameron or the possibilities of going out with her.
By the way, Total Divas, the episode I don't know what episode it is, but you can already rate it on Zap2It. And so far, it's got a 1-star rating. Show hasn't even aired yet. Somehow, it's got a 1-star rating.
Hey, you know what? I tell you what, there have been wrestling matches that I've been looking at that have been upcoming that I knew were going to be negative 1-star as soon as I saw they were announced. So, you know what? I can understand this.
All righty. Well, what did you think of Money in the Bank? On a completely unrelated note.
Well, it does air on television, so we've got that tie-in. I thought it was a pretty good show. You know, the Philadelphia crowd was really good. You know, Philadelphia, Chicago, there's a couple places, obviously, that you know you're going to get a big reaction. And they did, and it started off great. The first thing that you know, stuck out to me was I ordered the show, and usually they have that Renee Young, Scott Stanford, or Capetta, whatever his name is, who does the pre-shows. Usually they have that half-hour pre-tape thing that runs, and it's just all the videos you've already seen, and they're not adding anything to it, and it's really disappointing because you have to go to the app to watch the pre-show match, which this time featured The Shield and The Usos, who have been very good. You know, obviously the Shield is, been what they've been, and The Usos have improved rapidly in the last, you know, year or so, and they've really been having some good matches, and they work together well. So it was, you know, exciting to actually see that on the pre-show taking the place of that, the pre-tape and not having to use the app. I thought that was a good start to the night. And they had a really good match, and that led into, you know, the first Money in the Bank match, and you know, it kind of went on from there. The stuff you knew wasn't going to be much, like Chris Jericho and Ryback. It wasn't much. It was what it was. And there was a semi-deflating ending for the people in Philadelphia with Randy Orton winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. But even though a lot of people wanted to see Daniel Bryan get it or see CM Punk get it, or even Rob Van Dam in some cases, no one could be too upset with the fact that Orton's got it because, again, it wasn't, if it was Sheamus, it would have been an issue. But because it was Orton, you know, frankly, it's okay. And obviously they had a plan for Daniel Bryan and John Cena anyway, which they rolled out on Raw. So I'm completely fine with it. Predictable in some places. You knew, you know, either at the pay-per-view or on Raw on Monday, that they were going to have some sort of a screw job with Big E Langston, AJ Lee, and Dolph Ziggler, and they most certainly did. So, I can't complain about it at all. I like Damian Sandow a lot. I wouldn't have went in that direction. I would have went with either, you know, Wade Barrett would have been my first choice, and Antonio Cesaro my second. But with that said, Cody Rhodes needed to turn to babyface and shave that mustache anyway. He and Sandow have at least been working together, and Cody's very good. He's very underrated. And, you know, Damian Sandow, he's got a look. He's got a presence. He's a far better, you know, he's come along as an athlete in the ring, a lot better from the time that he started. And obviously he cuts an incredibly great interview. But the weakest thing he's got is probably, at the end of the day, his wrestling. He's had some good matches here and there. He had a good long one against Sheamus. But working with Cody Rhodes, it's probably a good thing.
What did you think of the way they set up Daniel Bryan and John Cena for SummerSlam?
You know, it was good manipulation. You know, it was a calculated risk because you didn't know what the fans were going to do on Monday. But they had that thing all planned out where John Cena would kind of bring everybody out there and let them announce who his opponent was going to be. And it was a calculated risk with a real good possibility that people would be saying yes. And he played that incredibly well, even though it took forever to get to it. He played it well in goading the people into saying yes, and they hid Daniel Bryan, and he popped out like a little Muppet at the end and got into the ring. I thought that turned out actually pretty good. And again, I think it's a good idea. You could have Orton win the briefcase, which they did, and you still give people John Cena and Daniel Bryan, which is what a lot of people want anyway. So it seemed to work out from all angles as it stands right now.
I want to talk a little bit about Total Divas again. How are they going to... I got so many questions about this show now.
You know, I want to know what Justin Gabriel plays, because doesn't Justin Gabriel have a lot of FaceTime in this show?
Does he?
I thought I had heard that.
Well, my question is this. So on Raw, they teased that we were soon going to learn who Daniel Bryan and John Cena were dating. So obviously they're not going to try to pretend that Total Divas is live, because they're doing, you know, the shows are storyline based right now around WrestleMania for the first episode. So are they going to now start trotting the Bellas out as the significant others of Daniel Bryan and John Cena on television? Are the Bellas going to be one in each corner at SummerSlam? Are we going to get added drama backstage as a result of this coupling? Or how will this play into storylines? Or will it?
It most certainly could, and they probably will, at least, you know, at least through joke references from John Cena or through interaction between Cena and Bryan. I mean, if nothing else, if they decide not to really acknowledge it at all and just kind of have the Bellas working
well,
with
they're
the
going
women,
to acknowledge it, but do they turn it into a storyline? They've already acknowledged it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I think they most certainly could, but again, there's also just as much of a 50-50 shot that they do it one time. And then, you know, the Bellas never cross paths again with Cena and Bryan for 3 months, and they just have them with, you know, Caitlyn or whoever else, whatever else they have going on in the women's division. I mean, really with WWE, when it comes to this stuff, even their own stuff, you know, they can be, you know, who knows what they're going to do. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to figure there's going to be some sort of tie-in. And I guess, you know, if that show somehow, some way, if we've convinced people to all tune into it, after next week's show, and it gets a good rating, I would guarantee that the bigger the rating is, or the more buzz that it gets, the more they'll kind of, you know, pump it up and trump them into the storylines. If it's actually far worse than they could ever imagine, they probably don't.
I had a debate with Dave about the great Khali and Natalya. He was certain they were going to break them up before Total Divas aired, and I didn't think they were even going to bother. And it appears I may have been right. They have not broken them up yet. And, I mean, I know why he predicted that, because that makes sense. But I guess I predicted that this wouldn't make sense. Maybe that's the problem. But
well, it's not a problem. You did it right, because, again, it's a 50-50 thing.
But what if, like, I mean, we're going to be watching the show, and so are they going to do storylines on Total Divas that reveal that, in fact, Natalya is not really dating the great Khali and she's dating someone else? It sounds like it's going to be a big exposure of storylines. And then, like, on Raw, I mean, are they going to, if they eventually hook up the Bellas with somebody else, are we supposed to just pretend that we don't know who they're really dating? Are they going to throw in, like, you know, John Cena will be backstage and you'll see a glance from John Cena, like, hey, that's my woman you're with right there, but this is all storyline. Are we going to get weird stuff like that, or is it just going to be two separate universes that sometimes intersect when they need to, but oftentimes do not?
Yeah, I mean, I'd actually be more apt to think that way. I mean, honestly, I really, really do. And again, if the thing gets somehow a great response and they get on, you know, it's a slow news day and they're on, what are those shows called, like OMG Insider and not TMZ, but some of the other inside,
you know, OMG Insider?
Isn't that a name of one of those shows? I swear to God, I think it is.
I'm so old.
If they catch stuff on that and it goes well, I think they do more of it. But if not, you know, it's probably going to be what it's going to be. I didn't really realize that Khali and Natalya were hooked up that hard in storyline for, and I thought they were just friends.
OMG Insider on CBS? You've got to be kidding me. OMG Insider is a half-hour multi-platform entertainment news series that combines the broadcasting power of The Insider with the online reach of Yahoo. About that. OMG Insider. I'm just completely baffled. It exists. Doesn't seem like it's very big.
I think, and one of the hosts was like, I think he used to be on ESPN and CNN doing sports, if I'm not Mr. Kevin Fraser or something like that, I think.
OMG Insider. My God, it airs on Cairo 7 up in my neck of the woods, Sunday at 4 p.m. Oh, my God, it's almost starting.
What a perfect put that on the DVR, watch that first, then watch yourself some Total Divas next week.
Wow, apparently I got to watch it today. It's topical. Did Eva Longoria break up George Clooney and Stacey Keibler? Was George Clooney and Stacey Keibler split part of a larger love triangle? Rumors began swirling Thursday that George had been pursuing Eva Longoria incessantly with phone calls and texts while he was with Stacy. But the Latina actress took on Twitter on Friday to deny the claims, saying, "As interesting as the George Clooney rumors are, they aren't true. George and I have been friends for years. Watch the video to hear more about how the rumor spiraled out of control. And be sure to watch OMG Insider for the latest in entertainment news." My God. There's a lot of wrestling stuff here. Jack Black tries going incognito to Comic-Con in a wrestling mask. I'm going to need to watch this show.
Way, I think, to go to Comic-Con, wouldn't it?
Kevin Frazier is one of the hosts.
Yes. Yeah, he definitely did sports. I think it was with ESPN.
ESPN Sports Center, NBA Shoot Around, and NBA Fast Break.
Yeah, I don't think he was very good, but I bet you he's probably thriving on that show.
We should change the name of the show to Wikipedia Observer Live. And I could just look at all this stuff and just cackle at it as the clouds burn off here. All right, everybody, we got to head to a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this program. Do not turn that dial. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, WikipediaObserver.com. Got all sorts of stuff to talk about today. We're almost done, though. And Mike, before we wrap it up, have you been watching NXT? And if so, what have you thought of the debut of Rick's daughter, Charlotte Flair?
You know, I haven't yet. I haven't had a chance to really see NXT. I see it in drips and drabs. I haven't had a chance to see Charlotte yet. I'll say this, you know, she was a really good volleyball player. She's got a very, you know, a good athletic body. She's a pretty girl. She's obviously got the Flair name. I mean, she does, you know, if it's looking at pictures, when you look at everybody on there, everybody's kind of distinct there in Florida. Everybody's got, you know, kind of their own thing. I think she stands out very well. Hey, I wish her the absolute best. And again, Ric Flair, I guess, was at that taping with her, you know, for her first match and everything. And no complaints out of me. They're having a lot of success. You know, obviously there's been cases like Ted DiBiase and guys like that. But, you know, Cody Rhodes, Curtis Axel, there's a lot of guys, you know, second generation, you know, Bray Wyatt on that roster that are thriving. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to have the pedigree she does, and the fact that they're probably going to take, you know, pretty damn good care of her. So the fact that all that's there, and she's an athlete, and she, you know, again, she's a pretty girl who looks a little bit different from what their traditional norm of want is. I hope it all works out for the best.
You know what Total Divas needs is Charlotte to be on the program so that Ric Flair can also be on every program, preferably with a fake mustache. And he can proceed to hit on all of the young divas.
You think he would do such a thing?
Is it a rhetorical question, or what kind of a question is that?
You know exactly what kind of question that is.
He can't help himself. He's the nature boy. All right, everybody, we are going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up here. I want to thank Mike, as always, for being a trooper after staying up till 6:30 a.m. last night doing the Observer Radio show. Is all up at WrestlingObserver.com. I'll be up later on tonight as well, so check that out. And thanks, Sports Byline. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Back next week, listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.